A Dialogue with Georgia O'Keeffe. Number one. The paleontologist must have seen something of human warmth in my gentle eyes. Are you alone? Yes, I replied. He offered to take me to the back room where there was something special, a plaster cradle removed from right here in the backyard of Abiquiu, where the honest-to-goodness fossil of a phytosaur and her crushed brood remained in red rock. Bone and skin, the first of its kind ever found, so complete. It looks like an eel, I reported. This was the wrong thing to say. His reply was curt. He had no use for statements from the uninformed, and I compliantly nodded as he pointed out the intact fang. Number two. I follow the yellow brick road to the trailhead of Chimney Rock, where there was an advisory for the Black Plague. Don't worry, the paleontologist had said. It's not the mosquitoes that will kill you. It's the mountain lions of which you ought to be concerned. I passed through the gate, two fingers of distant rock against sky, and discovered that I was afraid. I pray to you, Georgia, as if you were a saint, the pleas of civilization righteously on my lips. Don't let me die. You came with the full force of the fearless dead, not with comfort, but with indignation. How dare you think that you might be spared from the smite of this hostile land? Is it not the very reason that you might die in an instant that brings your life into the richest of focus? Afraid? You should be. I understood then how you had come to these mountains to disappear every stroke of pain, the chance to die, and in doing so learned how to live beyond the means of mortality. Now, you have become a signifier for those of us who want to know how you learned to dwarf despair. Number three. I took my hike and took my chance, knowing that you would not protect me, but you gave me a gift. Keen observation, the only thing that you had. Pay attention, you said. It was all laid before me, an entire world history laminated in the terrain, impressed into rock. Five civilizations of tribe, anthropomorphically embossed into buttes, mastheads of human pain, gone, as if their existence was a dream. I continued to climb, laboring under the weight of stone I occasionally stopped to raid, my pockets greedy with the mysteries you might reveal. Another phytosaur imprinted not as fossil, but as image drawn by wind. It got difficult near the top. My foot slipped, releasing a torrent of free fall caught under the altar of a flat rock. I bloodied my knee. Like all spirits, it was the offering you craved. Then I broke from fear, stepping up onto a massive bed of wind-swept sand, the mesa's top. Ocean bottom at one time, and my heart was glad, believing it could traverse the continental shift of time. Number four, instant vertigo. This was no IMAX cinema screen to prevent me from bonding my forever form into the cliff below. So I crept engine-like to the edge, and there I held on for dear life. It took only an eternity or so before my heart stopped beating that deafening drum, and I could see beyond my soul's alignment to the swallows who zipped over me, their sonar bouncing off the red chimney wall. And with my great breath, in one unified moment, I flew, knowing the way you must have known how to be free. As for the birds, They swam in the ocean of their air, oblivious that I was anything other than the brittle white bones of the cedar trees, uncovered at long last.